Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram weekend edition, Saturday, February 12, 2022. Chief, juvenile crime is big issue. By Stuart Doreen. Midland Police Chief Seth Herman recently told the Midland City Council of one of the biggest problems his department faces. There are armed juveniles committing very heinous acts, Herman told the council. The revelation might have caught some by surprise. After all, how many people think of teenagers being a growing part of the criminal element? That, however, is the case. Herman told the Reporter Telegram that juveniles are a threat and that includes violent crime. Of the 11 homicides in 2021, 5 involved juveniles as the actor, victim, or both. Juveniles are becoming more prolific in motor vehicle burglaries, drug possession and dealing, and gun crimes, including drive-by shootings. Midland Police confirmed this week juvenile arrests were up 23% in 2021. Juveniles, Herman said, have been recruited as part of juvenile gangs that are becoming increasingly violent, and according to Herman, more mobile. The chief mentioned this week police responded to a stolen vehicle event. The driver, it turned out, was a juvenile, a prolific burglar that had been in the system before. The joyride gone wrong was an example of a bigger problem. The rules governing the judicial system are drastically different for these younger criminals. Those 16 and younger aren't seen as adult, and the focus then is to rehabilitate, get them on the right path, and keep them out of jail. That and the lack of bed space at juvenile facilities create a revolving door. A catch-and-release system is how Herman described it. These kids who need to be incarcerated are released to families and returned to the streets to commit more crimes, more egregious crimes. Is there a clear solution to this? Herman says it isn't that simple. Victims are fed up and want stricter laws. Because of age, law enforcement is handcuffed. The teeth in the battle is the ability to incarcerate, Herman said. That does not exist. There are mentoring projects focused on keeping youth away from negative influences, and of course the parental involvement or lack thereof is a factor because some are busy making a living. Herman is quick to say that Midland's juvenile crime problem knows no socioeconomic boundaries. There are juveniles who are not disadvantaged that are part of Midland's crime problem. When kids are left to their own devices, some are inclined to move to a life of criminality, including the use of firearms and to commit aggravated offenses. MPD seeks info on theft suspect. The Midland Police Department and Midland Crime Stoppers are searching for a theft suspect. At about 10 o'clock a.m. on February 3rd, the suspect stole a Milwaukee packout system containing miscellaneous tools from the back of a parked vehicle. The suspect, a white Hispanic male, exited from the passenger side of a white Chevrolet 4x4 pickup and took the Milwaukee packout system. The victim's truck was parked outside of their house. If you make an official Crime Stoppers tip that leads to the identity and arrest of the suspect or suspects, you will be eligible for a cash reward. No caller ID is ever used and you will remain anonymous. Reference Midland Police Department case number 22-020-4022. Officials, 18 COVID deaths in the first 10 days of February. While most current COVID metrics are trending lower, the number of COVID deaths at Midland Memorial are still at a record pace. Last month, there was a new record for COVID-related deaths with 41. Midland Health reported Friday the hospital is on a pace to beat that number in February. There have been 18 COVID deaths through Thursday. Should that pace hold up through the entire month, there would be around 50. Midland health officials have stated that the Omicron variant has been less harmful to the entire population overall than other variants, but the sheer amount of people infected have been an issue. Midland health stats also have shown Omicron has been more lethal for older residents. On Friday morning, 37 of the 50 inpatients hospitalized because of COVID issues were 60 and older. Comorbidity has also been a factor of the higher number of hospitalized older patients. The last 7 months have been particularly tough at Memorial. There have been 192 COVID-related deaths since the beginning of August. Oil prices in the week over $93. Crude prices broke out of a holding pattern Friday, surging 33.5% as tensions between Ukraine and Russia soared and the U.S. warned a Russian invasion could happen as early as next week. Those developments have some analysts expecting prices to reach over $100 soon. West Texas Intermediate jumped 322 or 3.5% to close at 93.10 per barrel after 2 days of inching up 30 cents and 22 cents. Prices had fallen below $90 on Tuesday. The posted price ended the week at $89.58 per barrel. This is the eighth consecutive weekly rise for crude prices. Natural gas prices suffered a down week. Gas prices only managed a 1.5 cent rise Tuesday before falling the rest of the week, closing the week at $3.94 per MCF. Iran's involvement in the news this week with expectations of a new nuclear deal kept oil prices from running even higher, Mickey Cargill said. West Texas Intermediate touched $95 Friday as a rumor of imminent Russian invasion circulated through the markets. The main driver for oil price continues to be the OPEC Plus production underperformance, currently near 1 million barrels per day. The longer-term sweet spot for WTI continues to look like low 80s. However, the prices look headed to $100 first based on geopolitical risks. Edward Moya said in a newsletter that oil market fundamentals remain very tight, and with no immediate changes to that outlook, prices are poised to go higher. He added that the oil prices will remain extremely volatile and sensitive to incremental updates regarding the Ukraine situation. He noted that traders have also been monitoring nuclear talks with Iran, which could also have an impact on global crude supplies. He added that the Biden administration had reached out to Saudi Arabia about increasing oil supplies and easing prices, but that the Saudis are sticking with their strategy of gradual increases for now. The oil market is incredibly tight. Prices continue to surge and are now reaching levels that are uncomfortable for consumers across the world. Carol Ann Hall passed away on December 12th. A celebration of life will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, February 19th at St. Luke's United Methodist Church. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklemore's funeral home. Delia Jane Elrod passed away on February 9th. Visitation is scheduled for Monday, February 14th at Nellie Picklin Welch. Funeral from 6 to 8 p.m. Funeral services will be at First United Methodist Church on Tuesday, February 15th at 2 p.m. Graveside at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home. Evelyn Ruth Barron passed away on February 8th. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Saturday, February 12th at St. Anne's Catholic Church, with burial following at Rest Haven. Arrangements are under the direction of Ellis Funeral Home. Gloria Hernandez passed away on February 8th. Viewing will be Saturday, February 12th from 6 to 9, and Sunday, February 13th from 9 to 9, with a rosary starting at 7 p.m. at Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home. Funeral services will be Monday, February 14th at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe. Interment will follow at Rest Haven North Cemetery. Pamela K. Vaughn passed away on February 3rd. A memorial service and celebration of life will be 2 p.m. Saturday, February 19th, at Harrington Land of Memory Funeral Home in Palestine, Texas. Rudy V. Rendell passed away on February 8th. A celebration of life will be held at Grace Presbyterian Church in Midland at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, February 15th. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home. Thurman Thomas has passed away. Visitation will be Monday, February 14th at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home from 3 to 5 p.m. Funeral service will take place on Tuesday, the 15th at Avalos Sanchez Thomas Funeral Home at 11 a.m. Interment will follow at Fairview Cemetery. Susan Jowell passed away on February 5th in Marana, Arizona. The family will receive guests from 7 and 9 p.m. on February 18th at Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home. Graveside service will be held at 3 p.m. Saturday the 19th at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home. Katie Crowder passed away on February 2nd. Services are pending in Goldwaith, Texas.
This is Jane reading from the Saturday Odessa American for February the 13th. Odessa achieves Chief Petty Officer rank. After 17 years of hard work and the sacrifice of himself and his family, Jeremy Crawford advanced to the rank of Chief Petty Officer in the U.S. Coast Guard in a special ceremony on Friday. The occasion was held on the field at Ratliff Stadium, where Crawford was joined by friends and family. Being a Permian High School graduate, Jeremy Crawford had enjoyed football games there with his friends and family. He also ran track there. When the movie Friday Night Lights was filmed, Crawford was there and met some of the real-life football players. He recalls coming to the stadium to watch games with friends and family. Lieutenant Simon Sokoleko from the Coast Guard Recruitment Office in Washington, D.C., and Petty Officer Francisco Cortez from the Recruiting Office in Albuquerque did the honors. Crawford's wife, Kendra, and their two children, London and Brandon, were by the newly minted Petty Officer's side. Kendra and Jeremy were high school sweethearts and both went to Permian High School. "I'm very proud of him. He's worked really hard," Kendra said. She said it has been difficult at times because her husband isn't always around. "The military life is not for the faint of heart. It takes a lot of work, and it has to be something that everybody signs up for. Coming from West Texas, I didn't know what I was getting myself into, but we've done it together," Kendra said. Jeremy Crawford said reaching this goal is huge and advised people interested in the Coast Guard to start the process early. JP3 election, a crowded field. With Justice of the Peace Precinct 3, Woody Cupper, retiring, Ector County voters in that district choose a new candidate in the Republican primary in March. The winner of the Republican primary will face off against Democrat Gerardo Arzate later this year. Arzate is running unopposed in his primary. The three candidates running in the Republican primary include Court Officer for the Ector County Sheriff's Office, Dudley Graham, F. Redmond Properties, LLC, and Bravo Sector Security, LLC, owned by Freddie Redmond, and Bill Bowen, who works in real estate. With the three candidates in the primary, the possibility exists of a runoff with the top two candidates should no one get more than 50% of the vote. The primary election is March 1st. Early voting runs Monday through February 25th in the Elections Office of the County Administration Building at 1010 East 8th Street, Kellis Turner Community Center, the Elegante Hotel, the Globe Theater of the Great Southwest, and Salinas Community Building. Freddie Redmond grew up in Monahans but has lived in Odessa since 2010. After graduating from Monahans High School, he would go on to receive his basic peace officer training from Odessa College in 1999. He said he came to Odessa in 2010 because his dad wanted to retire and so that he could take over management of the company. He soon became owner. After his dad died, he moved the company from Redmond Enterprises to the F. Redmond Properties, LLC. In reality, same company since 2010. I just went from a manager to an owner. Since 2017, Redmond has also been the owner of Bravo Security, LLC. It's just a general private security company, Redmond said. He has never run for any office and was originally in Precinct 1 before the redistricting came after the census. I've wanted to run for Justice of the Peace now for a few years, Redmond said. This year, I got moved into Precinct 3. I was in Precinct 1, but I got moved over. I didn't want to run against Judge Terry Lang in Precinct 1. He'd been there for a long time. I got pulled into Precinct 3 this year, and the justice is retiring. It felt like this is the opportunity for me. Redmond says it's been an interesting experience running for office for the first time. I didn't really know what to expect, he said. You talk to some people who have run before, and they give you an idea on what to expect. It's been pleasant. I've met a lot of people in Odessa that I didn't know until now. It's been a great opportunity to meet people in the Permian Basin. He says that he can be a fair and impartial judge and talks about being a full-time judge. I'm looking to go to be there from Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, he said. I've got these two companies lined up. I've got part-time managers with them right now. I've got them lined up right now. If I were to win this election, those part-time employees would go full-time, so I would no longer be directly in charge of that. I would put all of my focus on the court. Dudley Graham is running for a public office for the first time. Graham has lived in Precinct 3 for 25 years. He has worked for the Ector County Sheriff's Office for 8 years and has been a court reporter for 5. Graham said he worked with justices of the peace on a daily basis, which is part of the reason why he is seeking this position. I know their jobs quite well, Graham said. I've learned their job, and part of their job is the magistrates. The judges asked me if I would run, and they pushed the issue there, and I agreed to do it. I think the world of them, and they have my ultimate respect. I hate to see someone stepping back down, but they wanted to see me run, and I was born and raised here. It's my community. This is my home. Precinct 3 has been where I've always been. Not just me, but my family and friends, and if I can get in that position to take care of them and do a good job for them, then that's what I'm going to do. Graham attended Permian High School, graduating in 1979. He then went to the University of Southern California in Los Angeles, where he received his degree in criminal justice and minored in emergency medicine. While at USC, he was also in the Marine Corps. In the Marines, I was on what they call embassy duty, which is security attachment, and I got assigned to a U.S. State Department and was there a while in the Marines. Graham would remain in the Marines until 1985. It would be over a decade later when he joined the Army, joining in 1999 and serving until 2008. He wants his voters to know he was born and raised in Odessa and that he knows the community. I know how they feel the most part on what they want and what they like in my precinct, Graham said. With my jobs in the military, I've learned to never judge and to be fair. Everybody makes mistakes, but sometimes you have to pay for what you do. Based on working with the JPs for the last 5 years, I think it would be very fair and definitely just, and apparently all these judges feel the same way. Working with the Ector County Sheriff's Department jail, I've gotten to do quite a variety of law enforcement in this area and in that alone. I got to deal with every aspect of my community, from the community leaders to the ones that have made mistakes and ended up in jail. Some people may not like me, but I've got their respect, and that's the thing that means the most to me. As a justice of the peace, I know I would be fair to anybody that came across my court. Bill Bowen is no stranger to Odessa and has run for an elected office in the past. He ran for Ector County Sheriff back in 1976 in a crowded race, but did not make it past the primaries. For the past 20 years, he says he has worked for himself, selling and flipping houses. He has also bought, collected, and sold antique grandfather clocks. Bowen describes himself as a people person. "I've lived in this precinct all my life," Bowen said in a statement. "I like serving the public. I like helping people. I think this is a good opportunity to put my experience to working for people." Bowen went to Odessa High School, where he graduated in 1967. He attended classes at Odessa College. He says his past work also includes serving as constable for Ector County from 1972 to 1976. "I've served under two Ector sheriffs," Bowen said. "I enjoy people. I like to help people. A lot of people don't get a fair opportunity that they deserve, and I like to see fairness and respect and to see people treated with dignity." Bowen says that he feels that every case that comes before the court must be handled with justice, respect, and dignity, and in a manner that I would like to be treated. He also said that kindness and justice will be my mission for this office. Judge dismisses OA lawsuit against city. Visiting District Judge Rodney Satterwhite Friday dismissed the Odessa Americans lawsuit against the city of Odessa, a decision the newspaper's attorneys said they will urge the Odessa American to appeal to the Eastland Court of Appeals. The Odessa American filed a lawsuit in June of 2020 arguing the city had violated the Texas Freedom of Information Act by delaying and/or redacting police reports and other documents related to criminal justice matters. Odessa American publisher Patrick Canty said, regardless of the latest ruling, that he believes the case law is firmly on our side, and what the ruling does, if this stands, is it makes a critical part of Texas open records laws worthless to not just the news media, but every citizen in the state. He said it would mean that any government agency could stonewall and censor information that has always been public. On January 31st, attorneys on both sides spent 2 hours in the 161st State District Court in Odessa arguing over the matter, with both sides asking the judge to render a summary judgment rather than allowing the case to proceed to a jury trial in the future. The newspaper's attorneys, Jeff Nobles and John Bouchon, told Satterwhite that under Texas law, the city has a duty to turn over basic information, such as the names of suspects, crime locations, and the nature of the crime, immediately. They said the city had the right to delay information only if they were seeking advice from the Texas Attorney General's office, and that information was beyond basic. Nobles noted that the city has delayed releasing basic information on numerous occasions. Following the 2019 mass shooting, the city waited 116 days to release basic information, and it waited 92 days in the Fabian Pulvan double homicide case. Hal Brockett Jr., who represents the city of Odessa, told the judge that the city did not violate the law because the city simply has an obligation to reply as soon as possible under the circumstances. He and attorney Keith Stretcher further argued all of the information requested by the newspaper has been turned over, rendering the entire case moot, and asked for the lawsuit to be dismissed as a result. Satterwhite agreed with the city attorneys, and he also ruled the city of Odessa does not have to pay the newspaper's attorney's fees. "I'm happy for the city of Odessa. I'm ecstatic for our legal team, especially our city attorney, who was very scrutinized," Mayor Javier Hoven said. Nobles said the newspaper will likely file an appeal. Nobles maintains that it doesn't matter that the city eventually provided the information. He believes the judge needed to legally recognize the difference between basic information that must be released immediately and other sorts of information that can be released at a later time. "Without that ruling," he said, "the city of Odessa can and will continue to provide information on their timeline." He also said the paper has First Amendment grounds to appeal. This is Jane reading from the Odessa American for Saturday, February the 12th, from the Obituary and Death Notice section. Joe Louis Barrientos, 69, of Odessa, died on Wednesday, February the 9th. Chapel service will be held at 1 p.m. on Monday, February 14th, at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. In Vernon, Nancy Josephine Brewer, 87, of Chillicothe, died on Friday, February 4th, in Vernon. Funeral services will be held at 2 p.m., February the 14th, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Dr. James Bishop is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Delia Jane Elrod, 86, of Midland, died on Wednesday, February the 9th. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. on February the 15th at First United Methodist in Midland. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa. Family visitation is scheduled for Monday, February the 14th at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home from 6 to 8 p.m. Arrangements are by Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Marshalline Turner Perez passed away on Tuesday, February the 1st in Odessa. Marcia is survived by her husband's children, Dolores and Michael Saar, Nicholas and Pat Perez, Donald and Kathy Perez, and Marco and Rachel Perez. She was a devoted grandmother and great-grandmother. Visitation will be on Friday, February 11th from 5 to 9 p.m. at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Funeral services will be at the funeral home on Saturday, February the 12th at 10 a.m. with graveside services at 1 p.m. at Brunson Memorial Cemetery in Eunice, New Mexico. Barbara Palmore Mathis, 76, of Odessa, passed away on February the 7th with her family beside her. She was born to the late Robert and Dorothy Palmore on February the 9th, 1945, in Odessa. She is survived by her daughters, Sandy Cotton and Lisa Clevenger. Visitation is scheduled for 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Saturday, February the 12th, and from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Sunday, February the 13th. Funeral services are scheduled for 2 p.m. on Monday, February the 14th, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel in Odessa. Condolences may be made online at acreswestfuneral.com.
Morning, friends. This is Julie, reading the Odessa American for Sunday, February 13th, 2022. State races rush towards primary one. Early voting starts Monday in state rep Senate contest by Bob Campbell. The candidates have been stating their cases for months, and now the District 81 state representatives race between incumbent Representative Brooks Landgraf and challenger Casey Gray, and the District 31 state Senate contest among Kevin Sparks, Stormy Bradley, Tim Reed, and Jess Quackenbush Jr. are going to the voters. There are no Democrats in either race, and if no one gets 50.01% in the Senate primary, the issue will go on to a May 24th runoff. The new senator will succeed the retiring Senator Kel Sellinger of Amarillo. Early voting runs Monday through February 25th in the Elections Office of the County Administration Building at 1010 East A Street, Kellis Turner Community Center. The Elegante Hotel and Globe Theater of the Southwest and Salinas Community Building. Landgraf, chairman of the House Environmental Regulations Committee in Austin, has been emphasizing the $2.9 million that the legislators appropriated to bolster U.S.-Mexico border security last year and his determination to help end the state's reliance on the Robin Hood public school funding system and standardized testing in the schools when the legislature meets again next January. He is seeking a fifth two-year term. Last year's statewide redistricting deleted Andrews County and added Loving County to the 81st district, which also includes Ector, Winkler, and Ward counties, although the winner will be represent Andrews through the rest of 2022. Gray, a military veteran who declined an in-person interview or a phone interview with the Odessa American, ran for Congress 2 years ago in the race that saw Congressman August Pfluger of San Angelo win the GOP nomination without a runoff in the field of 10 candidates. Awaiting an April court date in Walford County, Wisconsin, Gray is accused of violating a restraining order twice and jumping bail on the two cases that were filed as a result of those alleged violations, which online records say are a result of a child custody dispute. Court records also indicate that a January 6th status hearing was held on the violent harassment restraining order against Gray that was originally filed in February 2018. Gray entered a not guilty plea in May of 2018. Landgraf has picked up a number of endorsements, including that of Governor Greg Abbott and Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths. Sparks is a Midland oilman whose fundraising and regional-wide visibility have far outpaced Bradley's, Reed's, and Quackenbush's. Sparks is campaigning on promoting conservative values and the political unification of Odessa and Midland, among other issues. Running a distant second to Spark is fundraising, but ahead of Reed and Quackenbush, Bradley is a Big Spring businesswoman and Cahoma school board member who strongly disapproves of the COVID-related restrictions on businesses that Greg Abbott imposed last year. Bradley also criticized the Texas legislature, saying that it's Republican mandatory, it's a lot of talkers and not a lot of doers. Reed is a retired Amarillo FBI agent who taught at a predominantly preparatory school till leaving of absence to campaign. His main issues are enhancing border security and strengthening local control of schools. Quackenbush is an Amarillo attorney who specializes in personal injury and criminal defense. He advocates protecting the Second Amendment and criminalizing the teaching of critical race theory. Last year, a redistricting took four panel counties out of the 31 district and added 12 in the Permian Basin, increasing the optimism of Republicans on the south end of that region will elect a candidate of its own to represent the huge 45-county district. Webster Bryson Battle for District Clerk Seat by Royal McGregor. For the last 7 years, Clarissa Webster has held the seat of Ector County District Clerk and hopes to hold on for it, but has a challenger this election in the GOP primary, Christina Chris Bryson. There is no Democratic in the race, so the GOP primary is a winner-take-all. Webster is serving her second term as district clerk. Bryson has spent the last 23 years as an adult probation officer for Ector County Community Supervision Corrections Department. The primary election is March 1st. Early voting will begin Monday and ends on February 25th. Webster, 48, graduated from Permian Basin Christian School in 1990 and then continued her education at Pensacola Christian College and then received her certification as a paralegal from the National Association of Legal Assistants in 2007. When Webster was first elected to the position of district clerk, she was tasked with moving records from the paper to digital. All documents from the court proceedings, whether it's criminal or civil, are scanned and put into the Ector County portal. I knew that when we moved to the digital age, that all that history would need to be protected and handled well, Webster said. It was the thing that got me excited about the job in the beginning. We are still in the middle of that, and that's the reason I want to stay. Webster said the move from paper to digital also has freed up room throughout the courthouse, so there's less of a need for file cabinets. She said the move to digital can also help to send off paperwork to judges, lawyers, or members of the public. Though she said she believes she has accomplished quite a bit over the last 7 years as a district clerk, Webster said there's more that needs to be done, especially since technology is changing rapidly from year to year. "We want to know what is the future of technology, and we have to plan for that," Webster said. "It will ensure that we are doing right now isn't going to break us when we move to the next thing." Bryson, 53, was born and raised in Odessa. She graduated from Odessa High School in 1987 and then graduated from UTPB in 1998 with a degree in behavioral sciences. Bryson has prior knowledge of the district clerk's office as she worked there for 5 years under Jackie Sue Barnes, who retired from the position in 2002. Bryson also worked 1 year as the director of the compliance department, where she worked with individuals having to make payments to the county for court costs. For the last 23 years, Bryson has worked as an adult probation officer for Ector County Community Supervision Corrections Department. Bryson said she has worked closely with the district clerk's office, district attorney's office, and the district judges. Bryson detailed what would change about the district clerk's office as she would allow the department clerks back into the courtroom. The deputy clerks have been banished from the courtrooms for the current clerk. "I will return the clerks to the courtroom to make the court system function properly," Bryson said. Quick Hits, Annual Modessa Boat RV Sports and Gun Show. The 40th Annual Modessa Boat RV Sports and Gun Show has been scheduled from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. today at the Ector County Coliseum Complex, buildings A, B, C, D, E, and G, 4201 Andrews Highway. There will be guns, a variety of booths, including resort areas, jewelry, ladies' apparel, motorcycles, ATVs, home decor, specialty foods, kayaks, boats, and RVs. Amy Bass, Angler Kids Fishing Tank sponsor by All American Chevrolet of Odessa, will be available for the kids. Register to win door prizes from various vendors. A free tram will be provided to transport people from building to building. All exhibits are inside. Admission is $7 for adults, $5 for seniors, and $3 for children, 3 to 11. Visit modessaboatshow.com. Pageant. Miss West Texas USA and Miss West Texas Teen USA 2022 pageant for ages 14 through 27 will be held today at the MCM Elegante Hotel, Waterfront Room, 5200 East University Boulevard. Entry fee $100. If you live or attend school in Ector, Midland, or Tom Green County, or a surrounding West Texas town, you may sign up at westtexaspageant.com. Amanda Miguel and Diego Veldgar, the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788 Midland, will present Amanda Miguel and Diego Veldgar at 7:30 p.m. today. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. For ticket or information, visit wagnernoel.com. Citizens on Patrol. The Odessa Police Department is looking for ways to connect with the community. Citizens on Parole is a great program that helps us better work together. The Odessa Police Department is currently taking applications for the next Citizens Police Academy. Application deadline is March 18th. Classes will begin on March 31st. There is no registration fee, and the Odessa Police Department will provide all classroom materials. The application or more information, visit odessa.gov/480/citizens-police-academy. Call for Artists. The Artists Council of Midland is taking applications for the 38th Annual Celebration of Arts. Applications close at midnight, April 1st. For application or more information, visit zappplication.org. For information, contact ACM office at 432-687-1149 or email info@acmidland.org. Bustin' for Badges Clay Shoot Fundraiser. The 9th annual Bustin' for Badges Clay Shoot Fundraiser has been scheduled for April 21st and 22nd at Windwalker Farm Sporting Clays, 2551 County Road, C2801, Stanton. Registration, check-in is at 7:30 a.m. for both days. The event will include lunch and prizes. Sponsorships are available. Obituary. Seattle. Arch Black, age 92, longtime resident of San Angelo, Texas, died peacefully in his sleep on February 5, 2022, in Seattle, Washington. He was born Archie Lee Black on May 13, 1929, to Thomas Howard Black and Myrtle Deer Black in San Antonio, Texas. Archie was preceded in death by his beloved wife, Royce, his parents and his brother Howard, and Raymond, both of San Antonio. He is survived by his sister, Evelyn Walker of San Antonio, his children, Jimmy and wife, Gwen Black of Centennial, Colorado, Kathy and husband, Eric Benchel of Midland, Texas, and Judy and her husband, Forrest Thompson of Kirkland, Washington. He is also survived by 9 cherished grandchildren and 11 beloved great-grandchildren, ranging in age from 18 years to 6 hours old at the time of his passing. There will be a public memorial service for Arch and Royce at 10 a.m. on April 23, 2022 in the Worship Center of Southland Baptist Church, 4300 Meadow Creek Trail, San Angelo. Phone 325-949-9633. All who knew or were touched by them are invited to join his family in the service of remembrance. The family requests that any donations in Arch's memory be made to the Alzheimer's Association. There is a link for his tribute page at http://act.alz.org/go-to/Arch Black. Joe Roland Williams, Sr., Odessa. Joe Roland Williams was born Wednesday, July 25, 1945, at the home on Tom Green Street in Odessa, Texas. Early in his life, his family lived in Goldsmiths, Texas, where his father worked on the oil leases for ARCO. They later moved to Odessa, where Joe and his siblings went to school. Joe graduated from Odessa High School in 1964 and immediately went to work. He enrolled at Odessa College, where he completed one semester. He was drafted to go to Vietnam, but wasn't able to pass the physical. The Army then sent him to school at Odessa Commercial College, where he attended for 1 year. After completing training there, they found him a job at Halliburton. Joe was working and living in Rankin, Texas, when he met and married the love of his life, Frieda Ruth Allen, on August 20, 1966. They moved back to Odessa in July of 1967, had their first child, Joe Roland Williams, Jr. Joe went to work for Cardinal Chemical in 1971, which would later years become BJ Services, and shortly after, he and Frieda had their second child, Kimberly Sue Williams. Joe was Willa's dean leader while his son was in the Cub Scouts. He was Grand Master at the Independent Order of Odd Fellows in Odessa, where he called bingo every Saturday night during the late 1970s and early 80s. In 1982, Joe took his nephew, Jimmy Dale Ellen Jr., and raised him on his own from first grade through high school graduation. He was active in all the children's education, was involved with the PTA, and supported in activities such as choir and orchestra. Joe continued to work until his health required that he retire in 2001. His first grandchild, Sarah Bridgeanne Norton, was born shortly before he retired. He was fortunate enough to have had time to be her babysitter. His second grandchild, Lucas Dalton Williams, was born in 2003 and his third grandchild, Marlene Elizabeth Williams, was born in 2007. Joe lost Frida, his beloved wife and soulmate, of 45 wonderful years in 2011, and afterwards his life focused almost completely on his grandchildren. He loved any and all NFL football games, and later also enjoyed watching NASCAR races. He always enjoyed listening to Frida as she read the Bible and the Left Behind series to him. After Frida passed away, Joe spent time continuing to listen to them on Audible. Joe would talk to anyone who crossed paths with him and was loved by all who met him. Joe was preceded in death by his parents, Joe Lee Williams and Lily Beatrice Williams, his siblings, Jacob Lee Williams, Mary Beatrice Montgomery, and Patsy Mara Cox, and his wife, Frida Ruth Williams. Survivors include son, Roland Williams Jr., and his wife, Kelly Williams, daughter, Kimberly Gideon, and husband, James Gideon, son, Jimmy Dale Allen Jr., and wife, Amy, and grandchildren, Sarah Breanne Norton, Lucas Dalton Williams, Marley Elizabeth Williams, and Keaton Hunter Allen. Funeral services will be held at Acres West Funeral Chapel on Tuesday, February 15, 2022, at 1 p.m. Chaplain Kenneth Gibbons will officiate, burial falling at Los Angeles Gardens, section for Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences may be sent to the family online at acreswestfuneral.com. Virginia Hernandez, Odessa. Virginia Hernandez, 95, of Odessa, Texas, died Wednesday, February 2, 2022, in Odessa, Texas. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. February 15, 2022, at St. Joseph Catholic Church. Visitation will be held on Monday, February 14, from 12 to 8 p.m. Rosary will begin at 6:30 p.m. at Frank Wilson Funeral Director Chapel. Burial will follow after that. Mass on Tuesday, February 15th, at the Cahoma Cemetery. Father Frank Chavez is officiating. Arrangements are at Frank W. Wilson Funeral Home, 7509 of Odessa. Ricardo Isaac Lizaldi, Odessa. Ricardo Isaac Lizaldi, 25 of Odessa, Texas, died Tuesday, August 31st, 2021, in Odessa, Texas. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m. Wednesday, February 16th, 2022, at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. At the family's request, cremation has been opted as alternative means of burial. Pastor Filomeno Phil Galindo is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Lola K. Hildebrand Malcolm, Odessa. Lola K. Hildebrand Malcolm, 84, of Odessa, died Wednesday, February 9, 2022, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m. February 17, 2022, at First Baptist Church of Odessa. Reverend Dr. Byron McWilliams is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Robert Jr. Brown, Odessa. Robert Jr. Brown was born in Troop, Texas, on July 13, 1930, to Robert Judas Brown and Loria Mae Hare Brown. He passed away at Odessa Regional Medical Center in Odessa, Texas, on Saturday, February 5, 2022, at the age of 91. Robert's family moved to Odessa, Texas, in 1936. They owned and operated Brown's Service Station at the corner of 10th and Grant. Robert attended Odessa schools, graduating from Odessa High School in 1947 and Odessa College in 1975. He always believed in hard work and honesty, demonstrating both in his job at his dad's station as a young man and throughout his life, passing those attributes along to his sons. In 1949, Robert met and the love of his life, LaWanda Marie Huckabee, at the swimming pool at the Midland Air Terminal. When he was 19 and she was 16, they eloped to Carlsbad, New Mexico on February 5, 1950, keeping their marriage a secret from their parents until LaWanda graduated from Midland High School in May of that year. Robert and LaWanda celebrated their 52nd wedding anniversary on Saturday, February 5th, 2022. Always in love, romantic at heart, and never forgetting an anniversary, Robert remarked the day how blessed his life had been by marriage to LaWanda. After marrying, Robert and LaWanda settled in Odessa, and 2 years later, the brand started their family of four boys. In 1960, Robert went to work for the Odessa Fire Department. His belief in hard work and honesty took him from being a firefighter to rank of battalion chief. He considered those who worked with him to be an extended family, also referring to them as my boys. Robert retired from the Odessa Fire Department in 1988. After 28 years of dedicated service to his community, he continued to enjoy the companionship, love, and respect of his fellow firefighters for the remainder of his life. Robert loved playing softball as a young man, which both the city and the church leagues. He was always dedicated to his family and loved nothing better than time spent with LaWanda, their sons, and their family. Lots of wonderful memories were made at the lake house at Lake J.B. Thomas when the boys were growing up. Later, it was the farm that became the center of the family's gatherings. With over 800 pecan trees, a shady pond, various forms of animals, and lots of room to roam, grandchildren, great-grandchildren loved to visit Granddaddy and Grandmother. Robert was a vivid hunter and fisherman. Robert and LaWanda shared many good times hunting at the American Sportsman Club and various leases throughout Texas. Fishing trips to Horde Creek with the Fireman's Reunion and to Lake Amstad with family were the source of some great fish stories. At home on the farm, Robert loved raising, gathering, and shelling his awards, winning pecans as well as growing a huge garden every year and sharing his bounty with family and friends. His garden became a legacy. His granddaughter recently wrote, "My granddad, who will be 90 this summer, plants a huge garden every year. In August, he'll say that that's his last garden. It's too hot, too dry, too much work. But in the spring, he starts getting the ground ready and plants the seeds again." When asked why, he says, "All the old people at church count on me to bring them vegetables." Throughout his life, Robert had the determination and a servant's heart. Robert was a Baptist and a longtime member of Northside Baptist Church in Odessa. He accepted Christ as his Savior in 1942 at the age of 12. At Odessa's First Baptist Church, Robert always loved going to church and loved being in the church with his family. He read his Bible regularly and raised his sons by example to love the Lord. Robert was preceded in death by his parents, Judas and Lorena Brown, sisters Cora Bell Shows, Lucille Wolfe, Dorothy Grizzard, brother Benny Brown. He is survived by his wife, LaWanda Brown of Odessa, sons Dr. Steve Brown and wife, Jan of Odessa, Tommy Brown and wife, Neva of Gardendale, Jimmy Brown and wife, Shirley of San Angelo, and Dr. Donnie Brown of Granbury, sisters-in-law, Helen Brown of Altus, Oklahoma, and Billy Huckabee of Concord, California. Robert had 10 grandchildren. Services for Robert will be held at Northside Baptist Church, 100 West 50th Street, Odessa, Texas, on Tuesday, February 15, 2022, at 1 p.m. with longtime friend and pastor Clydell Chapman officiating. Interment will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Visitation will be held on Monday, February 14, 2022, from 5 to 7 p.m. at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home, 601 North Allegheny Avenue in Odessa. Pallbearers will be grandsons Jeff Brown, Stephen Ortiz, Justin Brown, Dr. John Deloney, Howard Brown, Sean Brown, and Dr. Jesse Brown. Honorary pallbearers will be retired and present members of the Odessa Fire and Rescue. The family would like to sincerely thank Dr. J. Nadeau for his special care of Robert during his illness and throughout the last 30 years. Dr. Roger Nadeau for his special care during his illness. Special thanks is also extended to the staff, ER, and CCU of Odessa Medical Regional Center, especially Vanessa, Laura, Jody, and Sam, In lieu of flowers, the family suggests memorial contributions to the Northside Baptist Church Mission Fund, Odessa, Texas. Danielle Danny Conrad, Odessa. Danielle Danny Conrad, 46, of Odessa, Texas, passed from this life at Medical Center Hospital on Wednesday, February 2, 2022. She was born on Sunday, December 7, 1975, to Deborah and David Conrad in Stockton, California. Danny was a very loving daughter, mother, and sister. She enjoyed spending time with her entire family. It was not uncommon to find her spending hours on the phone with her sister or hanging out with family. Danny loved being a mom to her daughter Sabrina, and she spent as much time possible making memories with her. She worked in retail management, and she enjoyed her work. She will be dearly missed by all who knew and loved her. Those left to cherish her memory are her father, David Conrad, daughter, Sabrina Conrad, sisters, Stephanie Twanman, Abby Ramirez, Dana Owen, niece, Sudanite Tawanda, and many friends. Danny is preceded in death by her mother, Deborah A. Conrad, grandparents Orville and Betty Fox, Ted and Sybil Conrad. A memorial visitation will be held on Thursday, February 17, 2022, from 3 to 5 p.m. at Acres West Funeral Chapel. In lieu of flowers, the family asks that donations be made to the American Diabetes Foundation. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel in Odessa, Texas. Condolences to the family may be made to the family online at acreswestfuneral.com. Glenn Alexander Boyd, Odessa. Glenn Alexander Boyd, 54, of Odessa, Texas, died Wednesday, February 2, 2022, in Odessa, Texas. Celebration of life is scheduled for 2 p.m. Monday, February 14, 2022, at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. At the family's request, cremation has been opted as alternative means of burial. Pastor Cliff Dierman is officiating. Garland Vance Ford, Odessa. Garland Vance Ford, 65, of Odessa, died Thursday, February 10, 2022, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m., February 16, 2022, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Dr. David Evans is officiating. Arrangements are by the Sunset Memorial Garden and Funeral Home of Odessa. Richard Rodriguez, Fort Worth. Richard Rodriguez crossed the finish line through the gates of glory and into the Lord's arms on February 4, 2022. Funeral 9:30 a.m. Friday in Greenwood Chapel. Interment, Greenwood Memorial Park. Visitation, 6 to 8 p.m. Thursday at Greenwood. Richard was born in Alpine, Texas on March 9, 1961 to Daniel and Adelita Rodriguez. Richard had a passion for chasing the Lord, not only in youth and homeless ministry, but also in growing friendships with anyone he met. He organized multiple outreach events with Carpenter Shop Youth of Odessa to minister throughout Fort Worth. He had the gift of testifying about the Lord in a way that was contagious, something that persuaded so many people to chase and fall in love with Jesus. We all know of his great worth ethic, loving to work with his hands and creating anything that came to his mind. Many of us will treasure for years the creations that came to life through his incredible imagination. Richard had a constant passion for fitness and bodybuilding that we all admired. Psalms 21:2-4. You have granted him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. You came to greet him with rich blessings and place a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked you for life, and you gave it to him, length of days, forever and ever. Barbara Palmyra Mathis, Odessa. Barbara Palmyra Mathis, 76, of Odessa, Texas, passed away February 7, 2022, with her family by her side. She was born to the late Robert and Dorothy Palmyra on February 9, 1945, in Odessa. Barbara attended Ector County School and worked for ECISD for over 30 years. The majority of those years were spent in the cafeteria of Permian High School until her retirement in 2019, wherein she made some lifelong friends. both young and old. She also enjoyed collecting Coca-Cola memorabilia and loved her pug baby. She was preceded in death by her parents, Robert and Dorothy Palmer, brother Bill, sister Caroline, and Lynn. She is survived by her daughter, Sandy Cotton, Lisa Cleviger, grandchildren. Mom was immensely proud of her family and leaves behind nothing but beautiful memories. Visitation is scheduled for 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, February 12, 2022, 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. Sunday, February 13, 2022. Funeral services are scheduled for 2 p.m. Monday, February 14, 2022, in Acres West Funeral Chapel. Our arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funerals Chapel in Odessa. Condolences may be made online at acreswestfuneral.com. William Albert Paul Beard, Odessa. William Paul Albert Beard, a.k.a. Doc Beard, 77 Odessa, Texas, passed away from his life on Saturday, February 5, 2022, at Medical Center Hospital. He was born Saturday, July 29, 1944, in Ranger, Texas. Parents Ida Beard Putnam and Joseph Albert Putnam. Bill lived a very interesting life. He served 1 year 1st of the 9th Cavalry in the Vietnam War. He was a sergeant and medical specialist for the airborne and infantry units, received the Combat Medic Badge, Purple Heart, President's Unit Citation, and numerous other medals. Before returning home to service in Germany as a medic another 7 years, he served 24 years at the United States Postal Service before retiring, all while pursuing his love for metal detecting. He loved sharing all his crazy stories with his family and keeping up with his buddies from the Army. Bill is preceded in death by the love of his life, Graham's Eva May Beard, daughter Robert Scott Williams, mother Ida Beard Putnam, father Joseph Albert Putnam, and sister Vera Beard Hogan. Visitation is scheduled for Sunday, February 13, 2022, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Graveside services are scheduled for Monday, February 14, 2022, at Sunset Memorial Garden Cemetery in Odessa at 10 a.m. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel in Odessa. Condolences may be made online at acreswestfuneral.com.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.